It's the Brian and Brian Show, where you can stay up to date with everything happening at the Anderson Country Club. And you might even get a few opinions on current events in the golf world. Now, here are your hosts, PGA General Manager and Director of Golf of the Anderson Country Club, Brian Garrett, and me, Brian Hammonds. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brian and Brian Show, coming to you from the Anderson Country Club in Anderson, Indiana. I'm Brian Hammonds, joined by the PGA General Manager and Director of Golf here at ACC, Brian Garrett. And Brian, I know you're coming off what I assume was a very successful invitational weekend.
It was very successful. We had, well, check number one, the weather was flawless this weekend. So we couldn't have really, this past weekend, we couldn't have asked for much better. This tournament has been stricken by weather in the past, in the recent past. I think that was my seventh or eighth invitational we've done here, and I think maybe only the second or third time we had zero interruptions. So we got very lucky there on the weather. I would say lucky. I mean, it was good. We just were very fortunate. So it was a great weekend. We got to see a lot of our members. We had 56 teams in the field, 56 members and 56 of their guests. And it was just a great weekend. I think anyone that played in it or came out to watch the shootout, or even the wives and girlfriends that came out on Friday night for the cookout and the party outside, it was great. We instituted a new tradition this year, and it was very spontaneous. I'll have to credit Brianna Garrett for the idea. We ended up doing a ladies' long drive out on number 10 on Friday evening. It was very spontaneous. I went around and got some sponsor cash and rounded up the ladies, and we got some ladies drivers and golf balls, and put a kid out in the fairway, and we did a long drive women, and the winner took home all the cash, and that seemed to really I don't know. It was just a great time. I mean, everybody was having a good time, and
who won?
Well, it's funny. We had I think 11 or 12 ladies in it, and the Lindsay Carpenter won. She went last, or no, second to last, and it wasn't necessarily that she hit it the farthest, but she hit the fairway. So that was one of the stipulations, was you had to hit the fairway, and we teed it from hole number 10. Right behind the patio where we had live entertainment, we had our cookout, and we probably had 40 or 50 people around the tee box watching and hooting and hollering and carrying on. It was just a super fun night, and the golf was spectacular. I'm going to go over the results here shortly, but the shootout was great. It went four holes like it should. There were no extra holes. There were some phenomenal shots hit during the shootout and some really good golf. So I'd certainly like to mention our flight winners, because, you know, for those of you who don't know how this tournament works, it's one member and one guest, and you know, 60 is the max. We had 56 this year. 60 is the max we want in this event. But you know, you choose your own guests. They have to have a handicap, and then we put them in 16 flights, and they match play five matches against each team in their flight, and it's all points based, and whoever has the most points wins their flight and advances to the shootout. So we name our flights after the majors and significant golf courses around the world that are hosting events. So our Augusta flight is always our championship, like our lowest handicapped flight, and Ryan McKinley and Thomas Standard won that flight. Oak Hill, we kind of go in order and name them after the majors. So Oak Hill flight was the second flight. Matt Decker and his guest Ben Bailey won that flight. The Los Angeles Country Club flight, which was the host of the U.S. Open a few weeks back, which was awesome, by the way. Jim Goodwin and Jay Winkle won that flight by a half point. That was a very competitive flight. The first top three teams are 25, 24 and a half, and 24. So that could have gone, pretty much any way. The East Lake flight, which hosts the Tour Championship every year, was won by Sean and Jay Dryman. And the Marco Simone flight, which I had some people ask, what's Marco Simone? Well, Marco Simone is the – I think it's Simone. I can't remember. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
I've never heard of it.
Well, it's the Ryder Cup course.
Oh, okay.
In Rome.
In Rome,
right. Yeah, in Italy. So Lonnie Thomas and Chuck Grable won that flight with 28 points. They kind of ran away with that a little bit. 22 and a half was second. The Cherry Hills flight, which hosts the USAM in August, Norm Clifton, as we affectionately call him Digger, and Butch Lytle won that flight by a point. the McCaslin flight. Gary Buck and Adam Anderson won that flight by 2.5 points. The McCaslin family were members here for a long time and very avid golfers. And then the Anderson Country Club flight, which was the last flight, was won by Kyle and Rich DeHaven. So those 9 flight winners, and then we have 10 that go to the shootout. So what we do is those 9 flight winners advance to the shootout, and then the highest point getter that didn't win their flight advanced as well. So that was Ben and Bill Vaness. Scored the second most points. They were coming out of the East Lake flight. They scored the most points of the non-flight winners. So they all went to the shootout. It's 4 holes. We eliminate 4 teams after 10. We had a chip off there. We eliminate, so that gets us down to 6. We eliminated another 3 on 11. There was a good chip off there. 3 spots for 1. I think that's right, 3 spots for 1. And then 17, we got down to 3. And the 3 teams we got down to were Norm Clifton, Butch Lytle, Sean Dryman, and Jay Dryman, and then Lonnie Thomas and Chuck Grable. And really, there were some amazing shots hit in the shootout on 10 and 11. Lonnie Thomas hit an amazing shot on 10 and an amazing shot on 11 to get it on the green. Chuck hit an amazing chip shot on 17. Jay Dryman hit a great chip shot to advance from 11 to 17. He hit an awesome shot on 17 to put them on the green. So Lonnie and Chuck chipped it up there pretty close, and he almost made it, hold it out. And there's, 40 carts, 40 or 50 people watching me, 20 or 30 carts, beverage carts out there. It's just a lot of fun. And so it ended up being Lonnie Thomas and Sean Dryman's group going down 18, and Sean hit his drive a little bit to the right, and it took a hard bounce into the pine tree. And they were kind of behind it from there, but Lonnie and Chuck ended up winning on the 18th. They ended up taking home the overall championship for the member guest, and it's called a member guest at other clubs. We call it our men's guest invitational. So it was great.
I was always working weekends, so I've had very few chances to play in a member guest or an invitational. Are they all pretty much the same format?
Most of them are. I think that there are some that do like a stroke, a metal match play, but most of them are the same type of format. They put them in flights. They play 9-hole matches. They advance to a shootout. There's different forms and there's different rules for each one, but and some of them are 3 days long. Some of them are just 2 days long. They're all a little bit different, but they're all basically kind of the same as far as I know. I know most of my friends that are golf pros at other places around, it's pretty close to the same. Some of them are bigger clubs and they have more teams, so they have to do a morning and an afternoon wave, and they have to spread it out over 3 days instead of 2. We do ours in 2. We do 3 9-hole matches on Friday, 2 on Saturday. We have a practice round, which you don't have to play in, but you should. And that's Thursday, and then we have a stag night Thursday night, and then the Friday night was just great, and Saturday awesome with the shootout. It was a great 3 days, and golf course was in phenomenal shape. Obviously, tip the cap to Mark Grogan, Duke, as we all know him. I put down less paint in the fairways this year for ground under repair than I have in my 8 years here. The greens were the best they've been all year by far this weekend. So, just a lot of great people in town, and I think everybody's in a great mood. It's a lot of people's Super Bowl. I mean, people that work, all the time, and, they get these 2 or 3 days to just kind of, go out and golf their ball for 3 days and have a time. It's a big deal. So it's our premier event. It's a lot of clubs' premier event. I couldn't be prouder of the staff. I couldn't be prouder of the presentation that we had for the event. The staff was great, and it's just a great kind of fellowship weekend for everybody.
Well, it's really kind of the start of a really busy big event season for you, right?
Yeah,
you got
it
some
is.
Big ones coming up.
Yeah, I mean, we have, so obviously we closed down the Invitational this week, and then the next big thing is we have our stroke play championship, and it's also a match play qualifier. So for the club championship. So the club championship season is starting in a couple weeks. It's July 8th. We sent out the registration yesterday, so that, men can sign up to play in this. This is just the straight club championship, right? There's no senior. We will have a senior club championship and a super senior and all that, but that won't start till August. But this is the actual club championship. So we'll have 8 qualifiers along with the 2, the winner and the runner-up last year, that'll advance into a match play format. But they'll play on July 8th, and you have to play in that to get into the club championship. You have to qualify to get into the bracket, and then it's match play from there. So it's similar to the college is similar to the college format where they have a stroke play and then the top eight teams go into a match play and they play off the bracket style. It's similar to that. And then we have three different flights, president, vice president, and secretary. So kind of ABC flight. But you can that's open for registration and is coming sooner than later. So it's July 8th. So it's going to feel like – I think it's going to feel like one big long weekend here starting Friday with the fourth coming and then the stroke play right after that. And with the fourth falling on a Tuesday, it's gonna be a pretty busy time. So, of course, we have our big annual member appreciation pool party at the pool on Tuesday the 4th. Burgers and dogs and all that's member appreciation. So the food itself is free to members. We'll have the DJ out at the pool and we'll have a party, a cash bar and all that. So that'll be fun. So it's a busy time, and we'll keep moving on. So, but the stroke play is coming up. Also for the ladies, we have our women's invitational on Tuesday, July 18th. And that is, it's a little bit different. We're going to start it at 11 a.m. with lunch and then golf at 12. And this is open. It's not really a formatted event. You just can play whoever you want. We're going to have whole contests, all that. We'll have lunch on the back patio here at 11 and then a shotgun start at 12. So any members that want to bring ladies out as guests, it's $55. That'll include your guest fees, prizes. It'll include your it's $60. It'll be $60 include your guest fees, your prizes, your lunch. It'll be a good time. That's Tuesday, July 18th for the ladies guest invitational. If you're going to play in that, you need to contact Jeannie Fredericks to sign up. But that'll be a good one. Again, 11 o'clock lunch and 12 o'clock shotgun on Tuesday, July 18th.
What kind of numbers do you get for the women's invitational?
It's been between 50 and 80.
That's pretty
good.
It
just depends. Yeah, I mean, we try to invite – Grandview has a really good ladies league that plays on Thursday, so we try to invite a lot of them. We invite other reciprocal type clubs that have ladies – And they'll come. Like, we'll have a group from Yulin. We'll have a group from Dyes Walk. We'll probably have a group from Delaware. So it's a fun time, and the ladies like it. And it's really, it's not competitive. It's more, just the fellowship for the women to be out there. We'll have a beverage cart and, lunch and prizes. And there'll be whole contests. But you could play your own ball if you want to do that. If you want to play a scramble, a two-person scramble, you can do whatever you want. You can play whatever format you want. It doesn't matter.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's fun. It'll be a fun time, and certainly encourage all the women that that play out here that are listening to sign up for a team and play. So it'd be good.
So we want to get into our tip of the week?
Yeah, you can go ahead and lead that conversation, and I'll see if I can help.
one of the things that's always confused me, and I've never really understood it, is the bounce on your wedge. What kind of bounce should I be playing? What is the deciding factor of what kind of bounce that I should be playing? First of all, just tell our listeners what bounce is on your wedge.
Bounce is basically the trailing edge and where the bottom of the wedge is, right? So, like, the shallower that angle, the less bounce, right? So that means you can play the leading edge will be lower than maybe the bottom of the club, the sole of the club. So, or even width, right? It's a degree angle. So basically, like, if you go to Vokey.com or you go to Callaway or whatever, they're going to try to tell you that, hey, if you're a steep swinger, if you like to take divots, you play on firm conditions, you're gonna need a lot of bounce. If you are a picker and you don't take a divot, you need less bounce because you want to slide. So they all try to put you in a category, right? But I really think it really comes down to what you like to feel. So the better the player, the more you like how the club goes through the turf. Like, you want to feel a certain something.
So you want less bounce?
Maybe. It depends. So, like, for example, a player like, I'll just name one. So Bill Vaness. He's a perfect example of a guy who wants low bounce. He doesn't necessarily need low bounce. He just likes the way it feels. He doesn't take a divot. He kind of likes to slide that club underneath, right? And he kind of picks it, and he just kind of bruises the ground a little bit, right? The leading edge doesn't really take a divot. So, like, he could certainly benefit from high bounce, and like out of the bunkers or on really tight surfaces or wet surfaces, because that will help that leading edge from not dig, because that bottom edge will kind of help ground that out. But some people like to like that feel, right? So with high bounce, I like to play mid to high bounce. And the reason why is because, one, it's more forgiving off short grass. Two, it's better out of the bunkers. And three, it's better on full swings. And I wouldn't call myself a digger necessarily. I think I'm definitely more of like a picker kind of bruiser type. You're not going to see me lay big squirrel, you know, divots out there. But I just like that extra added protection of the bounce, especially on shorter chips. Now, a lot of tour players and players that travel around a lot will take multiple wedges with them and use different bounces and grinds and all that based on the turf they're playing.
Right.
So, like, high bounce really is no good in Bermuda grass in Florida in the winter if you go down there and play. I mean, that just stuff just drags through. It's just not very fun to play with. So I would always ask, you know, your local PGA professional, which is me, what would be ideal for you. To put it out there, with our bunkers as soft as they are, I would always, and where we need to, where what kind of action, I would say every player in this club could benefit from a high bounce, high lofted wedge.
So what would high bounce be numbers wise when, okay, you, when so you're like, looking at wedges?
So like Vokey makes a 60K or a 58K K grind. That K grind is like 14 bounce. The Callaway Jaws has a W grind, which is basically the same thing. TaylorMade, they name theirs low, mid, high bounce, right? So they also have this wedge called the Bigfoot, which is a big sole, you know. It looks ugly, right? But it really works coming out of the sand. It really works coming off of tighter lies, right? Because you're going to have that extra, if you have a tendency to kind of like lean down onto it, this will help you not dig into the ground, mm-hmm. right? Lead that leading edge into the turf. So I would say that the 95% of the players out here can benefit from a high bounce wedge just to play out of the bunkers. And actually, Callaway has a new wedge that's come out that is it's a cavity back wedge. So it's kind of a forgiving wedge, and it has a ton of bounce on the bottom. It's got cavity back, perimeter weighted. It feels great. They put the microspheres in the face. I mean, it's awesome, and I've got some coming in the shop here. They should be here today or tomorrow. But I always say that unless you are really picky about how that ball comes off how it feels, you can benefit from high, mid to high bounce in most of your wedges.
So the moral of the story is like the rest of your bag, you just can't buy a wedge off the rack. I mean, they need to come to you and see what works best for you, right?
I would, yeah. I mean, and that can be as simple as going out and hitting a few full shots on the wedge on the range and hitting a full few chip shots around the. I mean, it doesn't have to be a long process. It's not a long process. I mean, you could pretty much, I can give you a low bounce wedge and put you in a situation where I can tell right away, hey, look, this is, you know, this isn't going to be good for you. I mean, the low bounce wedge for you, you might use it on a flop shot. Mm-hmm. How many flop shots do you need to hit around
here? A lot.
Yeah, but I mean, like, are you gonna hit more high lofted
right.
you know, flop shots? Are you gonna need like
chipping
need,
from off?
It needs the to green. Be a versatile yeah. grind, right? I mean, it needs to be something you can use more than in just one situation. So, yeah, I mean, it's really a simple conversation. See a couple shots and be like, hey, I think you could benefit from this grind on this wedge and this grind on this wedge. And everybody carries different wedges, right? Some people carry it all the way down to the sand wedge in their set, and then they have like a lob wedge they use out of the bunkers. Some people use three, like Vokey type or milled, like, you know, heavier type wedges that you would see it like just off the rack. So I would definitely have that conversation and with myself or with Garrett and just figure out like, okay, I'm in the wedge market. I don't know what to buy. The low bounce ones look good, but they're not always like what's best, right? And there's a few other players out here that I know that like really like that feel of that slipping under, right? And that's fine. But if they lean on it at all, they're going to stick that thing right in the ground.
Can you manipulate the bounce by the way you
yeah, and that's
opening the club face or anything like that?
For sure. Like the K, like for example, I have a 58X grind with Callaway. And what I like about the X grind is when I set it down, you know, just a standard face, right? I'm just hitting a regular face shot. There's plenty of bounce there. I can hit a full shot. I can hit a chip shot. If I open it up, if you look on the bottom, it's kind of ground down on the heel a little bit. So when I open it up, that leading edge doesn't come off the ground as much as it would for like the W grind, which is a full Monty, like it's more like a bunker shot wedge. It's not a flop shot type wedge, right? You don't want to open that up too much unless the ball's sitting up in the rough, then it's no big deal. But if it's sitting on the fairway and you open a wide bounce club that doesn't have any heel relief, that leading edge is going to come up in the ground, up off the air, off the ground, and you're going to be like, I'm going to bone this right across the green, right? Because it just it doesn't look like you can come underneath it. So I like to play a little bit of heel relief in my lob wedge. I guess it's a sand wedge, whatever. It's my 58 degree, and I play the same grind in the 54 as well.
You should replace your wedges more than any other club in your bag, correct? And how often should you replace your wedges?
I think it just depends on – I think that's a loaded question because it depends on, one, how much golf you play, but it also depends on how much you rely on spin to stop the golf ball. So if you like to flight your wedges down and spin them, I would say you probably need to change them at least once every year to two, depending on how much golf you play, because you rely on the grooves and the sharpness of those grooves to chew into that golf ball. If you stop that golf ball with height, or if you do not like around the greens, let's say you like that ball to hit and release more, then I think you can probably get away with a little bit longer than that. I mean, I'd love to sell more wedges, but I don't necessarily think that you have to change them every year. It just depends on the type of player you are, the type of shots you're hitting, and those kinds of things. So,
all right. I think I understand bounce a little bit better than, okay, than I did previously.
Good.
Anything else you want to bring up?
Well, we have our member championship that call out and registration will go today. That's another fun event. It's a premier event for us. It's at the second to last week of July. So it's July 21st is the practice rounds, and July 22nd is the tournament itself. And that'll be another fun event. We'll have an auction. We'll auction off all the teams. We'll bring in an auctioneer. We'll have a big party out on the back patio. The wives and girlfriends will be invited to that. We'll auction off all the teams. And then we actually have a cool – there's only going to be 40 spots available for this tournament, 42-man teams. So it's a member-member. So it's two members team up. And we have a sponsor for this event this year. Joe Clark and the Financial Enhancement Group have put together an awesome little gift for each of the players that you'll get if you sign up and play in this event. So it's really exciting. It's going to be an exciting event. It's probably our second biggest event besides the Invitational. And it's 27 holes on Saturday. We have practice rounds on Friday. We'll have parimutuel betting. We'll have the auction on Friday night. But we've changed the format a little bit this year. We're going to go one best ball on the first nine, Pinehurst alternate shot on the second nine, which we used to do two ball, which is all balls count, right? That's a tough one. But we're going to play alternate shot in the second nine, and then the last nine we're going to play just regular alternate shot. So one best ball, Pinehurst alternate, and then alternate shot for 27 holes. It'll be stroke play. There'll be different, you know, pots for each format, but then you'll have your overall first, second, and third winners. It will be a stroke play type event. So that's fun. That's a fun event. It's $140 to play per team. It's $70 a man. So it's not as pricey as the Invitational, mm-hmm. but it's still a great time. And I definitely encourage everybody to sign up. Anybody that is interested in playing, to get your partner and sign up for that. Registration opens today.
Yeah, I think I'm in town for that one. Now, you mentioned Joe Clark, and great guy.
Yeah.
But he put this out on social media, so I don't feel too bad about calling him out on this.
Okay.
He recently sat next to Judy Rankin. Had no idea who she was.
Yeah.
And, you know, all they did was talk about women's golf and mostly about Dottie Pepper and her 27 career wins. And
sure.
Had no idea who Judy Rankin was. He should be ashamed of himself.
Joe is an absolute golf fanatic,
and for him to not know who Judy Rankin is,
and I know he's watched Golf Channel, and I know he knows who Judy Rankin is, but it is hilarious to me that he did not realize he was sitting next to her. So we have to bust him up a little bit on this. It's certainly well deserved.
Yeah, if you see Joe on the golf course, you know, ask him how he enjoyed meeting Judy Rankin, and Judy's the sweetest person ever. So it's not like she was going to say, hi, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Hi, I'm Judy Rankin. I'm a Hall of You might know me from the Golf Channel or the fact that I'm a World Golf Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for
this
episode.
It's great. Thank you so much. I hope everybody enjoyed this. And, you know, we're just kind of moving right along. Remember, right away, we've got the stroke play championship. You know, sign up for that. And then, of course, we'll have the big blowout at the pool on the 4th of July. That'll be fun. It hasn't been very good pool weather this summer. A lot of north winds. And as I look out right now, I can barely see the ninth fairway because
the smoke.
The Canadian smoke is so bad. It's really not that. It doesn't look that bad. I may be exaggerating, but we have horrible air quality in central Indiana today, like the second worst
in the world. Behind Dubai.
That's frightening. We rescheduled first tee this morning. We had a coach go down, and then we were like, you know what, let's just play this safe. We can do this another time. But hopefully this smoke clears out. And it gets hot, so the pool gets busier because it's just been a weird June for the pool. There's a lot of, like I said, not a lot of north winds, not super hot, and then, you know, Canada.
It's only
blame
June.
Blame Canada.
It's only June.
It is only June.
It's going to get hot.
It will.
All right, well, that will do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. I learned a lot about bounce. I hope you did, too. And if you need to get your wedges checked, come see Brian or Garrett in the pro shop. So, for Brian Garrett, I'm Brian Hammond. Join us again next time for the Brian and Brian Show.